When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Amen.
And now, Father, as we look to this passage that's before us today, a passage that everyone would know so very well, the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost, I pray that once again, Father, you will enable us to just listen to you speak. Listen to the words which you have for us. And I pray, Father, that the way in which we respond will not be something that glorifies us, but it will be a response that glorifies you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you come to some passages in Scripture, they become a little more difficult than others. And that struggle comes about for lots of different reasons. But I think as we come to a topic like we've got today, Pentecost, I think probably the greatest struggle as somebody who stands at the front is that most people would arrive here today with some level of expectation as to what may or may not be said. Because there's such a variance of and difference of opinion in regards to what actually unfolded at Pentecost and what it means for us today to have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in us. And so one of the difficulties is to kind of lay all that aside and do just as I prayed and ask that the Lord himself would reveal what we need to hear today. And so that's what I've endeavoured to do as we've put together today's sermon. Jesus, right back in John 16, verses 5 to 11, said these things, and this is recorded from I'm reading from the Message. I am on my way back to the one who sent me. Not one of you asks, where are you going? Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you have become. And I think it's really interesting that they're getting sadder and sadder. The apostles are actually getting sadder because Jesus is going to go back to heaven. And yet they're almost ignoring the fact that he's going to go to the cross and he's going to die for their sins. And Jesus is saying that. They're not getting sad about that. They're actually getting sad about the fact that Jesus is leaving. So Jesus says, let me say it again. It is better for you that I leave. And when he, that is the Holy Spirit, will be revealed, it is better for you that I leave. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reveal the difference between sin and righteousness. He will show the world's refusal to believe in me, and he will show that that is the basic sin. He will show that righteousness comes from above. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and he will lead you into the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself. He won't draw attention to you either. But he will make sense of what has happened, what I have done. He will honor me and everything the Father has done through me. That's what happened at Pentecost. That's exactly what happened at Pentecost. The one who will explain to us what Jesus has done. The one who will convict men of sin. The one who will equip us to fulfill the final and greatest commission of Jesus of going into the whole world and preaching the gospel. He came at Pentecost. And that's what Pentecost is about. He was what the world needed. Because the truth is, and we need to understand this, there was only ever one person who could die and to pay the price of our sins. The only person who could do that was Jesus. And as Jesus gave the Great Commission, the great charge, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, go into the world and preach the gospel. The truth is, there was not a single person, not one person on the face of the earth as Jesus spoke those words who could fulfill that task in their own strength. There wasn't one. Not one person could do that. It was absolutely undoable. But it became absolutely doable when the Holy Spirit came on the people. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses. You see, Pentecost is not about a wind blowing. It's not like there was a tropical low that just sort of swept through Jerusalem in that moment. It wasn't like there was this cyclone that came through. I'm not even sure it was windy on that day. Did you notice the passage doesn't even talk about a wind? It actually talks about a sound like a wind. It wasn't like there was this fire breaking out in this house. Somebody forgot to turn off the gas and there was fire going all through the house. It wasn't like that. There wasn't flames. There was this appearance. And so Luke is trying to explain the impossible, the unexplainable. He says it was like the sound of a wind. It was like flames of fire. But we don't want to ever get to the thought of thinking, you know, Holy Spirit is just wind or just fire. That's not what's going on here. The disciples, around about 120, had no idea what to expect. They had been with Jesus and had witnessed some extraordinary moments with Jesus. Amazing moments. They had received from Jesus this amazing teaching about the Old Testament. Things that they couldn't understand all of a sudden were made clear through Jesus' teachings. They'd found out about all things about God. They'd seen miracles like no one could imagine. And then Jesus says, "It is better. It is better for me to go. It is better for you guys to have the Holy Spirit. It is better. It's going to be better than what you've had with me here." And they're all thinking to themselves, how can it be better? This has been the most awesome time in our life. Something that we could never have imagined would have happened. We've seen happen through you, Jesus. How could it be better? And yet Jesus says, it is better. So what does better look like? So as they're all together in one place waiting for better, I don't think they had any idea, real idea, as to what this better would look like. That's not to say they didn't have some ideas about what the Holy Spirit could bring. They knew what the Holy Spirit had done in the Old Testament. They knew about the events that we talked about last week. Remember when Moses declared to God in Numbers 11, I could do with a little bit of help here, Moses said. This is all a bit rough for me. It's a bit hard on me to do this by myself. And so the Holy Spirit empowered 70 elders and they began to prophesy, speaking the word of God. They would have known that Jesus didn't like, sorry, they would have known the fact that Joshua didn't like the fact that 70 other people possessed the same gift that Moses had. And this is what Moses said in Numbers chapter 11, verse 29. Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Prophetic word, isn't it? Prophetic word that he hoped that would take place. And now all they could do is wait. And in fact, that's exactly what Jesus instructed them to do. Just wait. So what do you do while you're waiting? What's a good thing to do while you're sitting around waiting? I don't know, maybe you take on a bit of a gambling game, casting lots or something like that. That always seems like a good thing to do while you're waiting. I'm always amazed by this part of the passage. They spent time casting lots. They did that to try and work out who the new 12th apostle should be. And I have to say, I'm really unsure about this process. They went through this process of picking Matthias. Many people believe that the casting lots was a good thing to do and totally appropriate for that time. I'm left unsure. I'm not saying that they made a bad choice. I'm not saying that their choice wasn't appropriate. But I struggle with it. It's just something within it. As I read that, that kind of says to me that this is just another example of Peter's impetuousness. You know, the Peter says, we've got to get this done. We've got to find a 12th disciple. And sure, he talks about how it said it in the Old Testament, but I don't know that it had to happen right now. But Peter says, no, let's do it now. And he almost forgot the words that Jesus has said. Just wait. Just wait. And I can't help but wonder whether or not they needed to have waited. It's always a worry when you hear those sirens, isn't it? I often sit in my office and just take a few moments just to pray for whoever that ambulance is going to. The other thing that you can do while you're waiting is you can join together in prayer. In this season of unknownness, we see that that's what they did. They came together and just spent time seeking the Lord's leading in that moment. You see, this moment between Jesus going back to heaven and the arrival of the Holy Spirit wasn't wasted time, but it was time of preparation, preparing their hearts for what God was about to do. Don't know whether you remember, but at the beginning of the year, we thought that this would be a year of preparation for us, for what God is about to do. So we need to be praying, waiting for God to do that. My experience in ministry is that God often calls the church to wait. And it's an uncomfortable time when we're waiting to see what God's about to do. But that's all we can do. We have to wait. Particularly in those times when we don't know a way forward. I find myself in an uncomfortable situation, particularly now as we contemplate the way forward for Brightwaters. Brightwaters and the church, somewhere along the line, we're going to need a different property. I'm not sure that I'm excited about that. I'm not sure I'm excited about the process. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how you feel about that. Whether that makes you feel uncomfortable or you're excited about it. But the one thing I'm quickly finding out is I can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about it. We're going to be looking at a property this week that's about $2.1 million. Have you got $2.1 million in your pocket somewhere? Because we're about 2 point something short of that figure. It's only money, so who cares? But you understand the uncomfortableness when we get into that. So part of it's uncomfortable, and the other bit of me actually gets really excited. Because I know that they that wait upon the Lord knew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Teach us, Lord, to wait because he's going to do something marvelous. And that's what the disciples were doing, praying and waiting. In this waiting time for the disciples, all the followers of Jesus surely spent a lot of their time, yes, they were praying, but I think for many of them, they were probably racking their brains. They were probably thinking to themselves, how on earth do we fulfill what Jesus asked us to do? How on earth are we going to go into the whole world and preach the gospel? There's a few limitations to being able to do that task. Firstly, there's the issue of physically travelling that far. There's the fact that this group commissioned to do this task was not many more than the amount of people who are in this room. So put yourself in that situation today. All of us in this room, we get this commission. go into all of Morisset and all of the Morisset region and proclaim the gospel of Jesus to everyone. You go, there's actually a lot of people who live in this area. How are we supposed to do that? Did I say Morisset? I meant New South Wales. Just us, no one else, none of the other churches, just us in this room. We have to go through all of New South Wales and proclaim the gospel of Jesus to all of New South Wales. Silly me, I meant Australia. Just us in this room. We're going to go all through Australia and we're going to proclaim the message to all 25,399,720 people as of 1:59 last night. Probably up or down a little since then. Just us. Just us. Us in this room. Proclaiming the message to this great Southland. And then, of course, it's actually not Australia that we're talking about. It's the whole world. I can imagine that the disciples sitting in that space were going, this could be just a little bit difficult. Going into the whole world. Proclaiming the message of Jesus. I have no doubt that they had no idea what that looked like. The more you think about it, the more they must have been thinking how unlikely that would be. The more impossible this task must have seemed. And even if the Holy Spirit meant that all of a sudden these 120 people could prophesy like the men of old. So in other words, if each person here had the Holy Spirit rest on them and they could prophesy the word of Jesus, he'd still be saying, that's great. Still doesn't get the job done. So you can imagine their struggle. Then came the day of Pentecost. And I want to just say that on that day, really only a couple of things happened. I'm not trying to downplay the significance of the moment. It's an awesome moment. But only a couple of things really happened. The first was all the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Then Peter and the other 11 who stood beside him stood before the whole crowd, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, they told the story of Jesus. And I'm sure that as Peter stood there, he probably thought to himself, where did those words come from? This is an awesome message that I'm giving. I hadn't even thought about it. But he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Peter declares, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. And I don't want us to lose sight of this fact. Here is the thing. On that day, the passage which we read today said that represented in that zone, in that region, on that day, were representatives of every nation under heaven. That's a miracle that they're all present on that day. There are the Parisians and the Medes and the Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Pergia and Pamphylia and Egypt and Libya. They're all there. All there on this day. And so as now Peter probably spoke in Greek or Hebrew, but these were only Galileans. Yet in this moment, all of a sudden, these people were all hearing the message of Jesus. In a space not much bigger than this, they're all hearing the message of Jesus. No wonder the message was so powerful. 3,000 baptized that day and were added to their number. And you know what? Now, as Christians, they were all going to travel back home. They were all going to travel back to their worlds. And they were all going to travel back and they were going to proclaim the gospel to their people. And they were going to travel back to their world and share the gospel with their people in their language. I don't want us to lose sight of the fact in the space of a day, the most impossible task that possibly could have been delivered to the disciples of going into the whole world and proclaiming the gospel, and the most impossible task is not only made possible on that day, but it actually starts to happen on that day. That is the most extraordinary thing that could unfold. That's the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. Now, sure, as we read through the rest of Acts 2, we see that the Holy Spirit aided the apostles and others with many other wonders and miraculous signs. We're not really sure all that they are, but we read of many of those things. But the one thing that we are left with is that everyone has sincere hearts and are left praising God. The presence of the Holy Spirit leaves us with sincere hearts and praising God. That's what having the Holy Spirit living in us should leave us with. Sincere hearts and praising God, enabling us to continue to play our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. As we speak about the Holy Spirit or Pentecost, it's really easy for us to get sidetracked. It's really easy for us to be in pursuit of something else. We don't need to be in the pursuit of something else. We need to be in pursuit of God. We need to want to immerse ourselves in His presence. And we just want to declare to Him, Lord, we just want to do what You have for us to do. And then allow God Himself to empower us by His Spirit. You know, I don't think any person on that day thought of themselves as anything special. They didn't even know what to ask God for in regards of how they were going to do the task. I don't think any one of them thought, well, maybe we could ask about all getting different languages. God knew what they needed. God knew what they needed and delivered that perfectly by His Spirit. Our task is not ever to pursue something else. Our task is not to pursue something else or want some extra manifestation. Our task is to pursue God. And while we wait, we pray, we seek His leading, and we faithfully immerse ourselves in Him. By the way, I just got one question that I want to ask today. Who spoke which language? As you look through the list of people, who actually spoke to the Medes or the Parisians? What about Peter and John, James and Andrew? Which language did they get? Do you notice? There's not one reference to who spoke which language. There's not this idea of, oh good, Peter, you were able to speak Australian. Good on you, mate. There's not one reference. You know why? Because that doesn't matter. What matters is that the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, was proclaimed to all nations on that day. And God is the one who should be glorified and honoured and lifted high and praised from the mountaintops. It's never about us. You know what? It's not really ever about the Holy Spirit either. It's about who God is and the work that God is wanting to do through Jesus Christ for the salvation of men. Let's pray together. Father, we have often sung the words that we're sorry for what we've made it. It's all about You. It's all about You. And that is true. Father, I just stand amazed that on the day of Pentecost, you could love those 3,000 people so much that they would receive the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Not one of those 3,000 deserved it, and yet you gave that gift to them. And Father, we just stand in awe that not only did you give that gift to those 3,000, but we stand in awe that they took that message back to their worlds, the whole world, and the message of Jesus was able to be proclaimed. We stand in awe of that. And now, Father, we come before you today realizing that there is a job for us to do as well. We can't do it in our own strength. We know that. We know that we have lots of limitations, lots of weaknesses. And yet we know, Father, that you will give us what we need to do the task you ask of us. And so, Lord, we just wait. Wait for you to call us. And then as you call us, Father, we ask that you will equip us to be faithful in the task you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.